Morning. How are we all? Rev Kev. First time I've ever been called that. It's usually fat boy or weirdo. So, take your pick. Well, in fairness, I do fit both those titles. My daughter actually asked me the other night when I was working late on Christmas Eve if that was because I was dressing up as Father Christmas. So, take from that as you will. I was actually just working late. Just to explain, when you came in, hopefully you'll have seen some of these on your seat. If you haven't got one, please find a seat that there's some spare, because it does come in useful at the end of the service. It will. There is a reason for it. It's probably the smallest and most inaccurate tape measure you will ever find. So Pete, don't use it when you're trying to do any maintenance on the church, because we might be in a bit of trouble. And also, I must be the only person that can't use a guillotine straight. So I do apologize if you have a wonky straight ruler. But God is good. And all the time. Thank you. Should we just open in prayer? Lord God, I want to thank you for your faithfulness over this last year. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the way that you've looked after us and kept us. I thank you, Lord God, for the words that you've spoken in our lives, Lord God, that have changed us to be more in your image. And I pray, Lord God, that today the words that are spoken come straight from your throne room. Lord, if there's anything of me that is within this sermon, Lord God, I pray that it be forgotten. And Lord God, that people will only hear what you need them to hear. I pray, Lord God, that truth will be spoken and lives may be changed today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a bit of a recap to start. Excuse me, I'm feeding back. So over the last year as a church, we've heard so many times from the front, the leaders and the different people I've spoke say, what is God saying and what are you going to do about it? So my question is, what has God been saying and what are you going to do about it? Now that's a personal question, and I don't expect you all to start putting your hands up and saying, well, this is what's happening at this moment in time. But what I do want you to do, I want you to keep that question in mind. What is God saying and what am I going to do about it? I want you to keep it in your thoughts all the way through this talk. You see, for the last year, the main focus of the church and the direction we've going in has been through the series of growing, giving and going. Firstly, we were taught and encouraged to look at how we grow with God, how this can be done in our own personal devotions, our church worship, through the preaching that we've had as well. But have I? Have you? Have we as a church grown more in and with God? You see, now for me personally, I believe that we have. I believe that the answer to that is yes. This year, I've seen more people going deeper into worship with God. I've heard more open prayers being prayed from the front and from the congregation during the worship times. And I've witnessed a 10-year-old make a decision that he wants to follow God for the rest of his life and be baptized. Now that is growing up in God. You see, I know that for different people, we're growing at different levels. We're not all growing the same. And that's okay. There are new Christians who are learning to understand what the Bible says and who this God is. And then there is older Christians wanting to know more and more about what God wants to do in their lives and what God's saying to them in their lifetime. But if we look at our lives honestly, is there anything stopping us from fully growing? I'd like to start, you see, with the parable of the sower from Mark 4, 13 to 20. If I can find it now, I've just lost my bookmark. Give me 2 seconds. You see, we know the story of the parable of the sower. It's something that's been taught to us down the ages. But then it says in Mark, do you understand the parable? How then will you understand the parable of the sower of the word? Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes that word away that was sown into them. Others are like seed that are sown on rocky places. They hear the word, and once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When troubles or persecutions come because of the world, they quickly fall away. Still others are like seeds sown among thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire of other things to come, choke it, making the word unfruitful. But you see, but then there's others, like seed sown in good soil. Hear the word, accept it, and produce crop, some 30, 60, and 100 times that was sown. So what type of soil are we letting our seed grow in? The seed of our salvation, the seed of our relationship with God. What are we letting it grow in? We come to church and we know that that is good soil, but then we have to go into the world, we have to go into work, and are we more influenced by the things that go on in the world, that which was planted in good soil on the Sunday is stolen on the Monday or the Tuesday or the Wednesday? Are we one person on a Sunday and then someone different throughout the week? Then, you see, we've looked at giving. Now this, in the world's way of thinking, is not a totally alien process. The world is a generous place. Millions, if not billions of people support different charities, events, financially. And this is usually done, though, with money that's left over at the end of every month. Once they've sorted themselves out and made sure that they're okay, then they will give to others. But that's the joy of God. That's the difference that God is. God asks for the first. He doesn't ask for the scraps at the end of the month. He asks for our first. And that's where the principle of tithing comes, and we've talked about that. This 10% of our money should be given back to God with such sacrificial giving, because it shows the gratitude of all that God has given to us. But as Christians, we're also asked to sacrificially give of our time, our giftings, our efforts, to bless the church of our body. And again, as a church, I'm very privileged to be able to stand here and today and say thank you. And there is a list, and I do want to say the thank yous. I want to say thank you to Pastor John and to the elders for the giving of their time and the devotion of leading the church, to the children's leaders and the helpers, to the people that come in and clean the church midweek when people don't see that, to the people that buy flowers for the church, for the people that come in and set the chairs out, serve tea and coffee at the back, the worship team, the technical team who sit at the back and people only know something's gone wrong, for the cafe staff that come and work so hard throughout the week just to serve the community, for the welcome team that stand at the door and shake people's hands and greet them, to the parents and tots team, to the people that run the Bible studies within the church, to the men's ministry groups and to the women's ministry groups. We are a church that gives so much of our time. We are a church that does so much for this community. And we are growing because of this. And I am very blessed to be a part of it. We, as I've said though, are a giving church. If there's an event on, everyone does all they can. No one knows that more than Jeanette. When anyone stands up and goes, we need a buffet, Jeanette's there with her pad and paper at the back. Right, who's doing what? And there's always an amazing amount of food. But do we give of our spiritual giftings just as easily? Are those that feel like they've got a gift of prayer and discernment asking to join in with the prayer teams to minister to people? Are those that feel like they've got a gift in leadership and maybe teaching, asking their small group leaders if they can help them with the studies and take a role to step up? Are those that feel like they're gifted in worship coming forward and asking if they can serve in that gifting? If you feel unsure of what your gifting is today, maybe we need to be honest with ourselves. Maybe we need to be honest with God and ask him to show you directly what it is that he's got planned for your life. And then we moved on to the going. As a church, this stage doesn't stop. Just because we've done the talk about that doesn't mean that we're no longer going to carry on that. This is an ongoing process. Over the last year, we've impacted our local community on a regular basis. Probably more than I've seen in the 7 years that I've been in the church. Every week, we reach different people in the community via Slimmer's World, the Stroke Association, Parents and Tots, Food Bank, Cafe Hope, the Knit and Natter Group, and even going into Beecher's Court. We are now reaching the community, possibly without being overtly Christian in our dealings with them, but we are being a witness to those that are in the public. You see, we were told in Mark 12, 30 and 31 to love thy neighbor as thyself, because this is the greatest commandment, and that is what we are doing. This love that we've shown for our community inspired one whole Sunday service dedicated this year to those that care for other people in the community, to which we had a great turnout. Now, many of those people may not have ever come through the doors of the church service again because it might be completely alien to them. But they came and they've heard the gospel because, first of all, we love them. We didn't go out, we didn't condemn, we didn't say anything bad, we just love them. And that is what we are called to do. We've had a team go out to Romania who went into the villages of some of the people with the most poorest circumstances and showed love. Loving giving them the gospel, loving giving them what their needs are, helping them with food, praying for the sick, leading families to Christ. And we hear when they did their talk about all the things that happened. And God is so good. So thank you again. But we are now at the end of the year. And this is usually a time when people start to look back and take time to reflect. It's a time to be thankful for all the things that God has done for us. A time to be thankful for security of our homes, of our church, of our friends. A chance to be thankful for warmth, for the clothes that we wear, for the food that we eat, our health, our family, our friends. But it's also time to look back and remember those that we may have lost. May have lost due to sickness, due to distance, even something as silly as difference of opinion separates people at times. Words said in anger, or even death. As most of you all know, this time last year it was pretty rough for myself and Claire. It was probably one of the hardest times I've had to go through. In the space of about 6 weeks, there was so much that happened. My dad was decorating the bathroom in his house and slipped through the floorboards and cracked his ribs. And while that was happening, Claire's auntie went into hospital because she's had something wrong with her kidney. And when they went in, they weren't able to operate because of the amount of alcohol she consumed over her life. Her kidney disintegrated. And when they opened it up, they couldn't do anything. And she ended up on life support and was given a week to live. While that was going on, the next day my uncle actually went into hospital and was diagnosed with cancer. He didn't know anything about it, he just thought he was going in because he had a sore stomach. My dad then had a heart attack on the 23rd of December, and then Claire's auntie died just after Boxing Day. So this time last year, it was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to go through because there was a lot of hurt, there was a lot of pain. And looking back this year, it's been full of joy again, but also sadness. The auntie died just before the new year, and then Claire's other auntie died not long after, followed by her uncle. Then Claire's nana died, and my uncle, who was waiting to go back to hospital to hope to have the all clear from his operation, was then diagnosed with secondary cancer, so he's had to go back for more treatment. But you see, my biggest regret this year was not telling my family, not telling the family that I was praying for them. My biggest regret was not sharing the gospel with them. We have lost members of our family this year that I don't know where they've gone to. And that is my biggest regret of this year. Now, as I've said, I don't know what happened on their deathbeds or as my uncle goes to sleep at night. All I do know is the pain that I felt inside for the last year, thinking I didn't take that opportunity to share my faith with my friends and my family when they were in need the most. You see, I've got a friend in work as well, and he's had quite a traumatic last week with his uncle. And they all know that I'm Christian. They all know that I attend church. We've had some randomly weird conversations recently, especially with it being Christmas. One has to actually go to church on Christmas Day. So it's probably the most main reasons to go to church. But you see, recently the guy sat next to him, he lost his uncle. This guy's uncle had battled through cancer, had two heart attacks, and had loads of other serious illness. He thought that he'd been over the worst of it. And then 2-3 weeks ago, he was out Christmas shopping and fell down the stairs at the train station in Liverpool and broke his neck at the bottom, and that was it. That was it. Now, I know that this is harsh, but there is a reason. In an instant, there was no time for regret. There was no time to say goodbye. No time to reflect on anything that had gone on in his life. Now, that brings me on to this little illustration. Okay, so if you've got your pieces of paper, your little wonky rulers, I do need to confess while you're finding them, this isn't mine. Well, it is mine. I did make them. I didn't. But this illustration's not mine. We were recently at a conference where a guy showed this, and he told me he'd pinched it off somebody else, so I thought it's okay to pinch that off him because it fitted in with this talk. Now, this very crude-looking ruler that we have here is marked from 0 to 140 in increments of 10, and then little bits in between to represent 5. We're good so far. What I would like us to do, okay, is with this piece of paper, roughly find your age now. Okay? Sorry, I know there's going to be a lot of moaning. Okay, but there is a reason. Okay, so I'd like you to roughly find your age where you are now, and I would like you to tear it off. Okay? And what I'd like you to do is, I would say throw it behind you, but that means I've got to clean up later. So if you can put it on the chair next to you, that'll be a lot easier, okay? We don't need that bit anymore. That's your past. That is your life so far. Okay? I'll wait because I know there's people wanting to catch up as well. No, don't worry. It's quite a poignant point, so... In that case, ask your wife, Phil. Okay? So that's gone. That's your past. There's nothing you can do now to change that. That's happened. Now, I know that God can take us at any moment, at any point in our life. Okay? So I'm not asking for random predictions and different things like that. But what I'd like on the ruler that we've got again, roughly the age that you think you would like to die. Okay? Okay? Please, no one do 140, because... Okay? So if you look roughly at the age that you think you're going to die, okay, I'm going to be optimistic. I'm saying optimistic. It's not very really, is it? Okay, so the bit that you've just torn off, I know it only goes to 140. Okay, but that represents your eternity. Okay, I can only do 140 because that's how long the piece of A4 paper was that I had. Okay, so that goes to 100, that represents your eternity. Okay, so that's once you have died, then the eternity you will spend with God. So let's look at what we've got left. Not much. For some of us, it'll be longer than others. For the children that are sat here, they've probably got like 70 years left on theirs. It's great, but... Okay. So now, if you look at that piece of paper that you've got in your hand, that represents your life from now to the point that you feel that you're going to die. I know it's quite a grim thought, but there is a reason. Why would you wait until this point in your life, just before you're dying? As John will tell you as well, from the funerals and the hospital beds he's had to go to, people always become the most clear about their life on their deathbeds. People always come to the point of, I wish I would have said this. I wish I would have said sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't ask God into my life earlier. I'm sorry that I didn't make up with my sister that moved to Australia 47 years ago. It's a because they know that life is coming to an end, everything becomes so much more clear. Why would we wait until this point? Why would we want to live our life and look back for whatever time we have left with regret? The regret of not telling somebody that you're sorry and repairing that relationship. That regret for not telling your friends and family, like I've just discussed, about your faith and letting them know more about who God is. Or for some, not even offering our life to God until that deathbed. Why would we leave the 5, 10, 15, 20, possibly 75 years of our lives with regret? Looking back, just storing more and more regret. You see, and again, I did pinch this from the, I loved it, okay? There was a quote that they put up and said, the longer that you live, the more you will realize that regret will sting more than failure. Let's say that again. The longer that you live, the more you will realize that regret stings more than failure. So if you reach out to the person that you've hurt and you said sorry or you asked for forgiveness and they refuse, it will hurt, but it'll hurt more than waiting till your deathbed and saying, I haven't done this. Why didn't I do this? For not telling your friends and family about God, why wait? Because that will hurt a lot more than saying, do you know what? God loves you. I know it's a hard time and I know it may not feel it at the moment, but God loves you. And if they turn away, then that's fine, because you've sown the seed. You've taken that, and yet it may hurt for a while, but it'll hurt a lot less than getting to the end of your life and realizing, I should have said something. You see, so I want us to take a moment to look at our lives, look at the piece of paper that we have quietly, and maybe ask God that as we go into this next year, to allow us to grow more in Him, to give more to Him through our giftings, to give more financially, to give more in service to Him, and to go out and share our faith with the opportunities that God provides. So if we can just take a moment, just have some silent time and reflect upon what we have left. In a minute, we're going to take communion. This is a chance for us to come to the table where God laid everything for us. It's a chance for us to make ourselves right in that relationship with God. It's a chance for us to be thankful that as we look at those rulers, we know that at that cutoff point where we said we're going to die, we still have an eternity with Him. It's a chance for our lives just to be offered to God and say, here I am. It's going to be done slightly different. We're going to ask people to come. There will be two servers at the front. We'll ask people to come forward. But I just want to say in closing, so what has God been saying to you? And really, what are you going to do about it? Amen.